The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin.
Oh.
Happy Friday to you, everybody. Yeah, still 9 days till the Super Bowl. Joe Fortenball will talk to us about it, his thoughts on the side, his thoughts on his props that he's going to bet. He will join us. Matt Brown will join us to do the same from VSiN's Final Countdown. And Adam Burke, who is the glue, along with Wes Reynolds, the glue that holds this entire operation together.
Yep.
He will join us in studio, give his thoughts on all things.
Burke's got a running solid running joke, too, of the guest we've bumped him for.
Oh,
on
he?
Fridays at 8:45, because it's like all these big names. It's like Brett, like yeah. Mina Kimes, like I've got all these like people that we booked, and I'm always like, "Hey, Adam, we're gonna skip you this week, okay?"
We love Adam. We love Adam. So he's joining us as well. One thing before we get into, because we want to talk about those how the DraftKings game props break down. Want to talk about NBA odds as well. But Kelly and I, in case you don't know this. We broadcast live from the South Point Hotel Casino, which we call affectionately on the tip of the strip. Really, most people think that like Mandalay is really the tip of the southern tip of the strip. And if you just keep driving, then you run into the South Point.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. Is it still on Las Vegas Boulevard?
Yes, it is.
But like if you were to walk the strip in the middle of summer, please do not attempt to walk down to the South Point.
No, because you might as well walk to Mexico.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. But I brought every one of my shows has always been here, whether I was doing this and primetime or just a numbers game. Tremendous loyalty here to not only Chrissy Andrews, of course, here at the South Point, also Michael Gaughan, who is the owner of this. But the South Point is a unique place.
Yeah.
It caters to, among other things, the rodeo crowd, which it hosts, the NASCAR crowd, which we have a South Point 400 event. Bowlers, in fact, there's one window. You see there's a list. You can see through the glass behind me. That's the whole sports book ticket windows. One of those windows is responsible for $2 million in revenue from bowling alone in a year.
It's usually the one that's right behind your head.
That's correct.
It's usually the furthest down the counter.
That's right. Yeah. It's right behind my head. This week happens to be... And we don't know because we're trying to figure it out. So when I roll in the morning, usually parking spots are plentiful. This morning, there was barely a parking spot. There is some kind of archery convention. There it is. That's the
great shot, Isaiah.
Thank you, Isaiah.
Look at all the action.
Whatever. Okay, you just saw that. You just see who walked by there?
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody just walked by with their arrows. I don't know what the proper terms are, but they have their archery equipment. Their bow and arrows, I guess. I don't know. Bow is probably not the correct word. But someone, if you just caught that. The entire hotel in the entire casino is filled with people walking around with their archery equipment. Even like a 10-year-old kid has it. So there is a bit of would you agree with me? A bit of an unsettling effect where you're like, any one of these people could just wind up and it would be over for all of us. And you made the comparison off air, which was a good one, which is...
Well, I'm this happens every year here. So, like, we're not shocked, but it is shocking every year to be like, that 12-year-old has a bow and arrow, and it's like, it's arrows. It's still arrows.
Like, it's not like the bow and arrow from camp, from summer camp. It's like a massive thing.
I mean, just like with the bowling, this is legit competition level, like high-level competition stuff that's going on here. But what I don't get is they keep carrying around all their equipment, and it's like if you came out to Vegas on a golf trip to be carrying your golf bag everywhere. It all's just like so bulky and big, and I'm like, why do they have to carry it everywhere?
Not only that, you can't help but think to yourself, if this were in the middle of the strip, there is no chance this would be allowed. Can't happen.
There's technically like dozens of people walking around with weapons in this place.
I don't
right
know
now.
What's happening here, but it is whatever it is. They've got it figured out at the South Point, and it is, I'm sure, a huge moneymaker for them. It's phenomenal.
Great. So I just wanted to give a shout out. Thanks to all the help for helping me find TSA Pre and Staples yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I went driving around. I'm trying to find Staples because your eyes are all telling me they're still existing. And I was struggling to find them. And so I decided to go to the mall, you know, and I was like, maybe the mall still has them. So let me go in these just antique, antiquated malls, and I'll roll around in here and see if I could find a Staples or anywhere to get TSA Pre.
What are we watching there?
I just couldn't find anything, Gil. I just couldn't find anything.
What is this?
I don't know. I just saw this video online earlier. This guy just driving through a mall, man.
Oh, my. It's Kelly driving through a mall. Anyway, so you get your TSA.
That was just
no.
That was all over years I brought up just to run that video because it's great. Just rolling around in malls where nobody exists anymore.
I hope we are all hoping. We're all praying for you that you get your TSA pre.
No, actually, seriously, the one guy who tweeted me the all the addresses. I took a picture of it.
Appreciate that. It's very kind. All right.
Going to the DMV today. I might just throw it on the list, Gil.
Sounds exciting.
Right? Get cleared.
Let's talk about the before we get to the NBA stuff. Let's talk about, because we teased this earlier, DraftKings providing us with the way that we talked about how their MVP market splits from percentage of handle and percentage of tickets. You have some of the game props splits as well?
Yeah, we got some other stuff here. I'm going to run through a bunch of things, guys. You don't even have to go to that graphic yet. How about first touchdown scorer splits? Travis Kelce receiving over 28% of the handle and 24% of the bets. That one stands out.
That is not in the least bit surprising.
Not at all, when he's basically the only walking Kansas City Chief right now, right? Yeah. A.J. Brown's second on that list with 10% of the handle. Let's see. How about some of the most bet touchdown scorers? Anytime touchdown scorer, obviously Travis Kelce minus 130 is the number one bet by both handle and by bets. You've got, we'll keep working our way down here. But most bet player props, Patrick Mahomes passing touchdowns over 1.5 at minus 230 is the most bet player prop so far. Jalen Hurts passing touchdowns, the second one over. Obviously, all these over. Mahomes passing yards next. Jalen Hurts interceptions next. And then as far as game props go, this one surprised me. Number one bet game prop so far. Each team to score one plus touchdown in each half, and each team to score one plus field goal in each half.
That is super surprising.
At 11-1.
We can only I can only surmise that the 11-1 is what's attracting people so much to that, because otherwise it just seems so random.
Yeah. Well, it's almost a different version of the three scores one, right?
I guess.
Like, it's kind of similar.
A distant cousin to that.
Right, it's like a distant cousin to that. Next up, you got yes on the special teams or defensive touchdown at plus 275.
People love betting that. Plus 275 does not seem like a good enough number for that. At all.
I don't know, but if you told me, Kelly, what do you think the odds are on that? I would guess 10-1, like something closer to that.
It's not plus 275 intuitively, is it? I mean, no way.
I don't think so. To happen in every quarter, a touchdown. Yes, plus 105. Each team to score one touchdown in each half. Yes, even money.
Wait, each team to score one touchdown over 38.5. What do you mean? That each team has to score one touchdown and the game has to go over 38.5?
No, that's a mistype. Oh, each team to score one touchdown in each half, yes.
Okay.
It's a yes or no.
So ignore the
money.
Over 38.5.
Yeah, total first downs over 38.5.
Oh, that one makes sense.
That's the one where it's at. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that first one surprises me a great deal, and the second one seems totally mispriced to me. But it is always interesting to see what people are betting in droves for whatever reason they've convinced themselves of.
I just don't even know. I mean, I always think it's the longer odds, but like, is which unit, defensive or special teams unit, I guess, on either one of these teams are you like, that, yeah, that.
Right.
I mean, is it just we saw Hassan Reddick stripping Brock Purdy last week?
I'm sure that has a lot. The recency of that has a lot to do with it. I just think there's going to be a portion of the audience, whether appropriately or not, who's going to hear what the things are that are the most bet Super Bowl props, and they're going to fade each and every one of them now.
Probably.
Yeah. NBA, Eastern Conference, Western Conference, championship odds. Shall we go there? Because these are interesting to look at again with – you know, the All-Star break, the trade deadline coming first next week, the All-Star break coming later this month. And right now we have roughly 30 games left in the season. You know, obviously these schedules are imbalanced, so it's going to be give or take a game or two. But we're rounding the bend of 30 here. Celtics, talking about NBA title now. The Celtics, who lost the NBA championship to the Warriors last year in the NBA Finals, they are the short shot at plus 360, followed by the Brooklyn Nets. People can't quit the Nets.
Nope.
6-1. KD will be back at some point. Bucks are plus 750. The Nuggets, who have the best record in the Western Conference, are plus 750, followed by the Clip Show at 9-1. And then, in addition to the Sixers at 11-1, the defending NBA champion Warriors, who have been hovering around 500 for all get out this year, 11-1. And then the Grizzlies, that we talked about earlier, at 12-1. Everybody else, 20-1 or beyond.
I think the only bet I currently have in this market is the Hawks for as soon as they signed DeJounte Murray. I bet it that day before the odds moved. So if you take away that, I don't have a bet in this market.
Aren't the Bucks and Nuggets the best bets on that board right now? At plus 750 each.
Yes, but Gil, I'd say at this point, and we talked a little bit about this on Hardwood Handicappers too, JVT and I. You can catch that wherever podcasts can be downloaded. The Bucks are my team. They're my team this year. They've kind of been my team this whole year. The problem is at plus 750, I'd rather wait till the playoffs get started and bet it at a slightly shorter number.
Oh.
Assuming they don't go on a massive run here. But that would be the only bet I'd make. I'm not betting anybody in this market that's in the Western Conference.
It also begs the question, which we talked about earlier, do you like that bet better? These are slightly different bets, or do you like them to have the best record? You know, do you like them to have the number one seed in the Eastern Conference better at plus 1250? Different bets.
Completely different, right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think the Bucks are my title pick. They are my NBA Finals winner pick. So if I'm looking at betting that, I'd rather just bet them at 5-1, 5-1 once the playoffs start.
No love for the Warriors at 11-1? You don't think they can turn it on?
I think they can.
It's always fascinating.
I'm not betting any Western Conference team in this market.
You like anything Western Conference or Eastern Conference?
Western Conference, I think the Pelicans right now are still, I would let that number keep sinking. It's fine. Zion comes back. We saw how this team played beginning of the season with Zion in that lineup. I think they're still a threat in the West.
Lost 10 in a row now, the Pelicans. By the way, you see that horrible call on Ingram late in that game too? Horrible. 10 in a row they've lost without Zion. Coming back, Joe Fortenbaugh, Super Bowl 57 next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The big game means big plans for VSiN. VSiN will be in the middle of all the action and broadcasting live from Radio Row in Phoenix with athlete and celebrity interviews and our experts breaking down the game. You won't want to miss any of VSiN's coverage. Huddle up and watch Follow the Money, the Lombardi Line, VSiN Final Countdown, and VSiN Primetime, all live from Radio Row starting on Monday. For betting splits, expert picks, and big game props, head to VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from a New York Mets 16. He says, a quiver of arrows is what it's called, Gil. A quiver.
Oh, yeah.
A quiver of arrows.
I was going to say a quill, but that's not right.
A quiver, but then I was like, I don't know. Is that old school? Mark Geiger, concerned about bows and arrows? Try going to places like Texas where there are people walking around legally in malls with assault weapons. Shall I speak to management about a reserved parking space for you? It's okay. No, I'm good. Thank you, though. Thank you for having my back. Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. Doesn't Kelly Bidlin throw down the don't you know who I am card at airport security?
Man, I would love to see how badly that fails.
You don't need no TSA pre. Just walk. I'm Kelly Bidlin. Just say you're Preston Johnson and then you'll get through.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm Preston Johnson. Oh, okay, you're in, sir. Mike Alvarez. South Point's definitely a unique place where all are welcome. No matter if you're a fan of bowling, rodeos, NASCAR, archery, sports betting, or anything else, we can all agree on a good hot dog, and that guy Wishnev is too loud. That's very true. Very, very true. Scola. Small parlay. Bucks. 12-1 referenced earlier in Iga French. Iga French will get home for you. That's for sure. Bucks 12-1 to win it all? It's a great number.
Oh, is that what he's talking? I thought he was talking about the most wins.
If you can parlay those two, yeah, why not? Why you got to parlay them? Just do them separate.
Because everybody's got to parlay everything. Yeah. You know that.
Mike Rouse also telling me you carry your arrows in a quiver. Thank you. Thank you for updating my archery vocabulary.
And now you know.
Ladies, yes, we should do the NBC, the more you know thing in the background. Joe Fortenbaugh, ladies and gentlemen, is the undisputed star of ESPN's Daily Wager. I'm sure others like Tyler and Doug will disagree with that, but for our money, he's the guy. It's Fortenbaugh, everybody, on the show. How you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm all right. Just going through my mind, wondering why I decided to have children. They bring a stomach bug into this house every 3 weeks. I'll tell you, it's just, it's another day in paradise.
Joe,
but it's great to be on the show. How you doing?
They are walking Petri dishes, those kids. Ugh. Oh, and so selfish. Oh, it's all about them. By the way, happy birthday to your kid, by the way. That was yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because 6 years ago yesterday when he was born, I remember my wife's going in for the C-section and I'm sitting out in this room because at that point you're just completely worthless and useless. They just put you in this room and they say, wait here, we'll come get you when we're ready for you. And I'm sitting there and I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to dump all of my thoughts out onto my notepad on my phone and just see where this is in a few years. But during that process, I remembered the Warriors were laying 7 against the Clippers. And I thought to myself, you know what? Let's see how lucky this kid is. Let's fire a bet on Golden State because I was in the Bay Area at the time. And let's see what happens. So kid's born. You go through a bunch of stuff. It's like 3 a.m. I completely forget about the bet. Sure enough, the Warriors covered. He's been a lucky one ever since.
You're white. Let me just cut to a shot later today at the Fortenbaugh household where Joe's wife is like, let me get two things straight, Joe. One, you talked about my C-section on the radio. And two, you were talking about a bet when our child was born. Oh,
let me tell you something. She knows. Okay. I was doing radio up there, and I came up with a whole prop menu for the birth. Eye color, yes, no hair, over, under weight. And we did it on air. So there was like a 10 prop menu for the birth of that child that was on air. So she's well aware. She was the one that had to call in to verify all the details because people thought I was going to cheat, which, you know, I can't blame them.
Never been prouder of you, Joe, than I am at this moment. Learning all that. Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody, from ESPN's Daily Wager. Weekdays on ESPN2. Let's talk about Super Bowl 57. And before we, full disclosure, you grew up an Eagles fan, correct?
Yes, correct. Full disclosure, very important to get that out there.
Yes. You're like, that's all I got. It's like the Eddie Murphy thing when Arsenio Hall had him on, where Eddie Murphy, long question, goes, yes. So I'm just trying to establish you are still being objective about what you're about to say about Super Bowl 57, regardless of what you're about to say.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I can sit here and I can be realistic. You know, people give me grief when I bet on the Eagles. They think I'm a homer, but the reality is I tend to bet against my teams more than I bet on them. So I'll be on them at times, but it's not like it's just blind faith or loyalty following these teams. I've had no problems betting against them. Like, I know every year the Sixers are going out in the second round. That's been quite lucrative for me over the past.
So what do you got here, Chiefs or Eagles? Eagles favored by 1.5.
So to be completely honest, I haven't fired on it yet because I'm trying to figure out. I think there's still some unknowns with this wide receiver situation and the injuries in Kansas City. I do find myself leaning to the Chiefs here. I don't have a great foothold on it. I wouldn't come on and say, oh, this is like that Eagles-Giants game. I love that game. I think the Eagles this year, while they've been very good, there's a couple concerns in this game. Number one, Jalen Hurts. The most underreported story of last week was Hurts stunk in that game against San Francisco. He stunk. And you can show me the rushing stats. That's fine. But he wasn't throwing passes over the middle. He did exactly what he did against Chicago. He just chucked 9 routes down the sidelines because he had nothing else. And this is the guy I remember at Alabama who in big spots would either be captain check down or he'd throw the ball away or he'd scramble for like a yard and a half game and that would be it. So I wonder how he's going to handle the pressure of this game early, especially if they need to lean on him should the defense give up stuff to Mahomes. And then on the Kansas City side, I got to figure you're going to want to run the ball in this game. The Eagle weakness is their run defense, and you're going to want to keep that offense on the sidelines as long as possible. So, like I said, I haven't done anything yet. I think the number's going to keep moving back towards Kansas City. So if I'm getting involved in the Chiefs, it would probably have to be soon.
Do you have a prop bet that you have made already or that you are eyeing to make?
There's a few I've been toying with. I made the A.J. Brown anytime touchdown prop bet plus 115, depending on where you're looking. He hasn't had a big postseason, but I like it at plus money. The Kansas City red zone defense is absolutely horrific. It's bottom 3 in the NFL. And Brown ranked 11th in the league in red zone targets this year. So that's just the perfect marriage right there. A guy who sees a lot of targets in the red zone going against a lousy red zone defense. And if you look at what Kansas City has done against opposing number one wide receivers this year, they've struggled. Like at the beginning of the year, Hollywood Brown, Steph Diggs, Mike Williams, Mike Evans, like this is Devontae Adams. They all found the end zone. And that's the first 6 weeks of the season. So I would play that one. I'm going against the grain here because a lot of people love the Mahomes over passing prop. I know Fezzik's big on that. I'm looking the other way. I am. I think if you're Kansas City in this game, you've got to be able to run the ball. I don't think that the mindset for the Chiefs can be, let's move as fast as we can up and down the field. Because if you're doing that and Philadelphia is able to run the ball, they're going to have your defense out there for 35 minutes in this game. And do you want the Kansas City defense out there for 35 minutes? By the fourth quarter, that would be a big edge for the Eagles. So I think Mahomes is going to move the ball down the field, but he's going against the number one pass defense, the number one defense in terms of QB pressures. I think he'll get yards, but he's not going to get them in big chunks. And that's going to take up a lot of time. Keep this in mind. 19 games the Eagles have played this season, one guy has thrown for more than 250 yards on him.
Yeah, you brought up something that the Chiefs have this horrible red zone defense. Another little, like, weird quirk with the Chiefs. This is neither here nor there, just throwing in random stats over 2 weeks' time talking about this game. The Chiefs are also the worst team in the NFL, or 31st. They may not be worst, but they could be second worst. On third and ones, for whatever reason, they cannot figure out how to convert third and ones. So just, again, random strange stats from the Kansas City Chiefs. Before you go, Joe, because we only have a minute left here, we just were talking about NBA odds and randomly brought up, you know, the Warriors are sitting out there at 11-1. You were a guy who did San Francisco morning radio for 5 years. I believe it was 5 years. Any thought about the Warriors 11-1 as a flyer this year, or is this just not their year?
I mean, 11-1, given where they're at, they got to get healthy. This defense on the road has been a major problem. I think they're complacent. They just won a title, and they know they need to turn it on in playoff time. But at the same time, with the West being what it is, I think they could still make a run at it. So I haven't made the bet. I haven't been impressed with the defense, but I do think they're going to be much better once they get to the playoffs.
All right, Joe, appreciate it, man. We missed you at dinner last night, but I understand it was your child's birthday, and some things have priorities.
Did Felica pay?
No, I did.
How did that work out? Wasn't he in town specifically to collect winnings from all his different tournaments?
I'm a generous guy, Joe.
I should have been there. That's a huge mistake on my behalf. Mm. The kid will have a birthday next year.
Joe Fortenbaugh, man. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Love you, Gil. Talk to you soon.
Love you, man. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN's Daily Wager, who usually has the quickest hang-up in the business, but we didn't hear the dial tone there.
Yeah, we got the quickest hands in the West. Kevin Trask over there on the audio board.
Yeah. Joe, before you finish the last sentence, like, his thing is to just...
Yeah,
the quick
I've heard it a time or two, yeah.
It's phenomenal. Daily
Thanks, love you, bye, click.
Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody, on Daily Wager, weekdays on ESPN2. We will come back with our own Matt Brown from The Final Countdown, which he does with Stormy Bonatoni, weekdays here on VSiN. He's got his thoughts on Super Bowl 57, his favorite prop bets as well. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. One very important clarification, Kelly. Chris Felica, the Bear, would like everybody to know that there was a struggle for the check.
Oh.
A very physical struggle for the check between he and I, and my right forearm from tennis ruled the day. I pulled it away.
Obviously.
Yeah. Clearly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Gil Alexander serve is pretty famous.
What are we talking about? We get tweets at Beating the Book. Warriner. Don't forget about Beantown as a nickname that no one from the area will use. That's very true. Nobody in Boston uses that. From our earlier discussion about Aaron Rodgers saying San Fran. B-Mart, my book has pick the exact score at 50-1 odds. How bad are those odds? I took a flyer on Chiefs 27, Eagles 24. The book knows what they're doing with those numbers.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. And John B. would like to check in. Not that John B. Not 90s R&B star John B., but a different John B. says, my favorite prop bet is the number of players to attempt a pass over 2.5 at plus 160. Usually at least one team tries some trick pass play. So beyond Mahomes and Hurts, all you need is one person to attempt a forward pass, and you'll cash that at plus 160.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking injuries with at least one of these quarterbacks, if not both. I feel like there's a lot of Jalen Hurts conversation out there, too. So, in theory, if one of those guys misses a play or something and someone else has to come in, that hits that way, too.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, this next gentleman was once the co-host of a little show called Primetime Action. He's now the co-host of The Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni, and recently on that show has taken pie literally to his face and has eaten mayonnaise, all because he didn't perform well in a Bets and Consequences segment. It's our friend Matt Brown. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well. And little surprise, Kelly's still not letting people know up north. We got friends in Toronto. We have friends in Montreal. We have friends in Edmonton, all the way over to Vancouver. That $9.99 is going to run them $13.37 Canadian. Kelly ought to be on top of that. Like, it's going to run them $13.37 Canadian. And I know that they want to know what the introductory offer costs up there.
Yeah, always with the currency exchange, this guy.
Yeah.
Always.
I quit. Gil asked me like 2 weeks ago why I wasn't doing that. And I was like, no.
You got it.
It's Matt's thing, man.
You got it in the divorce. Hey, let me ask you this. Seriously, yes. The pie in the face is one thing. Mm. The mayonnaise.
Yeah.
How disgusting was that?
Well, it was far more disgusting than I even imagined. Here's the problem, though, Gil. When I get into these contests, I'm assuming I'm going to win. So, like, I'm not so much worried yes. about, like, what is happening to right. me afterwards, because I'm like, it's not going to happen anyway. I'm supposed to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to make better bets, and then I'm going to win. Well, that has not been the case the last two. I'm glad.
Oh, and there's Matt's internet.
Oh, we lost him. There goes his internet.
He did anyway, warn me.
What happens is Stormy makes a series of bets, Matt makes a series of bets, and whoever performs better gets to, you know.
They have consequences. They decide.
The person who loses has consequences, bets and consequences, like the old truth or consequences back in the day, well before our time. Yeah. So here's video of Stormy putting pie in the face of Matt Brown. By the way, Matt Brown lost two bets here because he's wearing an FSU shirt.
Yeah, he did.
Which he lost in a bet with you. You're an FSU alum.
Yeah, when Florida State LSU played each other like September 5th of the college football season.
First of all, just keep an eye on Matt. He takes off his blazer, right, because he can't have that have pie on it.
Right.
Then he rolls down his rolled up sleeves, and Stormy is like, would you just come over here because there's only 30 seconds left in the show. He's trying to bleed the clock, and then watch this. He's really upset about the, oh, nice. Bam.
He was freaking out. If we had the audio up, too. He was freaking out with the force with which Stormy was going to deliver.
That's right. He's very particular.
And then complains about it afterward. Yeah. He's like, you hit me too hard.
We still haven't gotten the field goal kick from him either, we should
still
point out.
That.
No. Weather conditions.
But, hey, maybe he's just going to surprise us one day, because he walked in wearing that T-shirt, and I was like, oh, yeah, that bet we made like 5 months ago at this point that I totally forgot about.
Yeah, and then the previous week he had to eat mayonnaise, which is truly disgusting. That's the worst of the
bunch. Yeah, I mean, how much mayonnaise? If it's like a packet, all right.
Still. In the words of Lionel Richie.
Oh, we got him back. Still. Matt's back.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Matt Brown, who we had an opportunity to talk about behind his back now for the last 90 seconds. So, Matt, the mayonnaise was gross.
Yeah, it was. Yes, the second pack was where is the real punishment.
You like, get through one pack.
Yeah, you get through one pack. The second, and as far as Kelly goes with this shirt thing, trying to make it act like I was punting on this bet order, I go immediately after I lose.
Yeah,
I order this shirt. What I didn't do is pay attention to the fact that the shirt was on back order. Was on whatever.
It was so like a month or something.
The shirt didn't show up for like 2.5 months. And then the shirt finally shows up. And I was like, oh, I had also forgot about this or whatever. The shirt shows up to my door. And I was like, well, I still have to pay off this bet. And as a man of my word, I went ahead and did that.
Man of his word.
I'm also going to guess, though, there's more thinking in it than that, Gil, because it's, well, if I have to get whipped cream on a shirt, might as well be a shirt I never want to wear again.
100%. Everything
Kelly,
he does is well
Don't you worry,
out.
Buddy. I've already thought of our next bet, and our next bet is going to be you wearing that exact shirt on for an entire show. And you, you squeezing into that puppy for an entire segment or show or whatever it is. So don't you worry.
There.
I got that one. That shirt's clean and it's waiting on you, my friend.
Hey, Mr. Internet Problems. You don't think we can get some Super Bowl 57 thoughts from you while we're still here? Do you?
Yes.
Who do you like in this game?
Let's see. I think I'm going to wait and end up just betting the Eagles on the money line. I mean, I'm guessing, Gil, and this is one of those deals, right, where we have never been in a scenario now where this many different people are betting into the Super Bowl. Like, I assume it's going to be like it is in years past, where once the casual money starts to come in, they're all going to take the Chiefs on the money line at the plus money. And I'm going to get a better money line price on the Eagles. But again, I guess. I don't really know. I mean, you know, we're getting some of these markets that weren't really mature that are much more mature a year later betting into this. Of course, there might be some sort of East Coast bias. Let's not forget that all of those East Coast states all have legalized betting, whereas a lot of those states, I mean, Ohio just now went live and all of that. So, I mean, I'm assuming I'm going to get a better number on the money line, but I think it's actually an assumption. You know, I mean, you and I talked about this on all the programming we've done years and years and years, right? It's like, we kind of know how this works for the Super Bowl. The total is going to rise by a point and a half, because everybody bets the over. The money line value is going to be on the favorite, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm guessing, because I don't really know.
Yeah, what Matt is referring to there is exactly right. We've talked about this for years, which is, for whatever reason, during the regular season, the casual bettor will bet the underdog plus the points. In the Super Bowl, they will bet it on the money line. And so we'll see. Right, we'll see if that's the case here as well. We don't know.
And we're already seeing it. We went over those maps earlier. That's where the map questions were about. There's two different maps that we're staring at what states and who's betting what. And it's Chiefs money line everywhere. And the spread, it's Eagles money line.
Nobody knows
Eagles spread.
Nobody knows why that behavior is. The best guess is, it's the last hurrah. Let's go out with a bang. Yeah. It's the last football game till, you know, August, if you're talking preseason. Have you made any prop bets, sir?
Yeah, so I went ahead, and it's going to end up being, you know, the squarest bet by the time it's all over with, if you believe in such a thing. But I mean, I went ahead and bet Kelce over at 78.5 receiving yards. It's going to be, in my opinion, in the mid 80s, definitely low 80s before this thing kicks off. Like nobody's going to be betting under on Travis Kelce. And I think if there is a path to victory for the Chiefs, it's most likely going to run through Kelce. And so I went ahead and did that, got that one in pocket. Going to look at a couple of others here. Hopefully, as lines start to balloon a little bit, maybe some unders on some rushing stuff, or maybe even both teams. But considering that neither team really has a workhorse back, I know Pacheco is certainly getting the majority of the carries there for Kansas City, but it wouldn't surprise me if Andy Reid and them went a little wacky and split it up a little bit more here in the Super Bowl. So trying to hope that those increase and come in on the unders. And again, as you guys, I'm sure, have preached already on the show, if you're betting unders, more likely better to wait. If you're betting overs, more likely to bet early, because those numbers are typically going to grow, as no casual bettor is going to be betting unders. They're all going to be betting overs on all of these things. And so if you want to get in on an over, likely do it now. If you want to bet an under, most likely just hold out for about a week.
Yep. Tried and true. Tried and true advice. Real quick before you go, got 30 seconds. Who you got at Pebble Beach this week?
Man, I don't have very many guys at the top of the leaderboard. I mean, I had a pretty good feeling Tom Hoagie was going to be able to do some damage over there. And honestly, he was doing all right. And then he closed out his round double and then a bogey. So he loses three strokes in the last two holes he plays on the day. So I hate this tournament. I hate the three-course rotation. I didn't put out a big monetary outlay with this one. So hopefully on to Waste Management next week, where we get that big elevated prize pool. So all the big dogs are going to be there. And, you know, we'll get the first real true test here for these guys.
Are you going to Waste Management this coming?
I am.
You are?
I am.
Look
yes.
at you.
I am.
Oh, that should be fun. All
It'll
right,
be
Matt.
Great.
Appreciate it, man.
Good luck, guys.
Matt Brown, everybody. Final Countdown, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown.
500-1 Hank Lebioda with a one-stroke lead at Pebble in round two.
That'll hold. No, it won't. Coming back with Adam Burke in studio. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. How about a pro tip, Kelly? Pro tip. Wow.
Time.
That's the remix.
Right?
If you're betting player props, overs, for the most part, have value now, and unders will have more value closer to the game.
Tip of the cap to Matt Brown.
Matt Brown providing us with our pro tip moments ago. All of them.
It's a great point.
It is a great point. All of them searchable at vsin.com for pro subscribers only, though. What are you looking at, Kelly?
It's a commercial I was talking about.
Next, the weight loss one?
It's like, hey, I'm attractive and slightly overweight, but I took this pill, and all of a sudden I became really hot. It's like, wait, no. People like me need a weight loss pill, not these people.
It's like the most improved player award in the NBA.
Right, exactly.
The people that it works for, you're already really good.
Right.
You just go super elite.
You went to super level, yeah.
Kelly. So in this example, Kelly is Lowry Marketing.
I am Lowry Marketing in this one, yes.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, in studio, not bumped by Brent Musburger, not bumped by Mina Kimes.
That's right.
Not bumped by anyone. It's Adam Burke. How you doing, man?
I'm good, especially because I wasn't bumped today.
Adam, who else is on the list? You had a great list for me like last week.
Well, it was supposed to be Musburger last week, but then you said he came early.
Oh, yeah, so Brent showed up like an hour early, yeah.
Yeah, well, you got bumped by both Musburger and Fezzik, I guess.
Yeah.
It was a combo. Yeah. It was a Rufus, Fezzik, Brent Musburger. It took three guys to bump you, Adam. Was there anybody else on the list? Mina Kimes.
Felica.
Felica bumped you once. That's
which
true.
Is fine.
I mean.
I get it. I don't carry the name value of a Mina Kimes or
it's not like Felica. It's not like we took one of these archery guys and bumped you.
Maybe right? You should.
No.
Maybe you shouldn't.
We love you, Adam.
I'm still true. Why are they all walking this way? I don't want to admit
a
Kevin's
lot of them were
right,
coming
but...
from the... What was it? Right next door.
Across the street.
But isn't that a timeshare? Yeah. There's a hotel right here. When you stay at the hotel, not the timeshare.
I don't know if you know this about archers. Is that the correct word? Archers?
They're big.
They are
the time
very cost-effective people. They value that.
Like maybe you Airbnb those over there? I don't know how that works.
I don't know. Anyway, it's a fascinating subsection of
South Point. You never know what you're going to get when you walk
you
in.
You really
there.
Don't.
You truly do not.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Which is fun. Honestly, I love it during the NFR when all the Cowboys are walking around.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's fun. Yeah,
that's fun. So is the bowlers. The bowlers are their own thing. Anybody
people that know how to party.
Yeah, that's right.
Bowlers really and Cowboys.
Yeah. This is honestly, could Michael Gaughan have a better promo for this place than what we just gave? Right
I've had, I mean, to Adam's point, like I've had random friends come into town that are, you know, like some that work in the business with us, right? I'll show a studio too or something, and we end up hanging out here. And like 3 weeks later, when I'm talking to them, they'll be like, you know, the best night I had at Vegas is when we were partying at the South Point. And it's like, yeah, it randomly was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place.
It's an everyman's casino.
It is.
It is.
Let me ask you about Super Bowl 57, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but we're 9 days away from the Chiefs and the Eagles. The Eagles is 1.5-point favorites. The total is 50.5. Any play on the side or total?
No, but I wish the game was being played this weekend because I'm already ready for this game to get going. Obviously, there's a lot of chatter about the Super Bowl for the 2 weeks leading up to it. Nothing on side or total for me. I mean, I think that both of these numbers are right. I think there are... You know, questions really with the quarterbacks on both sides. You know, I mean, we haven't really seen Jalen Hurts have to do a whole lot in the playoffs here, really do a whole lot since coming back from the shoulder injury. And he even admitted this week during his media availability, like, yeah, it's still a work in progress. Like, it's not there. It's like, okay, well, to what degree is it not there? And if you have to throw 35 times in this game, are you going to be able to do it? Can you throw a deep ball and kind of expose that Chiefs secondary down the field? We don't know. And then obviously Mahomes with the ankle and the Eagles pass rush and how long does it take him to get hit and hobbled again in this game? I think that like most Super Bowls, I'm just attacking it with the prop markets and hoping that I come up with some good bets there.
Have you made some prop bets so far?
Haven't locked any in as of yet, but there are some that I am looking at. And, you know, I have this question about Jalen Hurts, right? I don't know if he can throw the football down the field, if he can soften up that Chiefs defense for the run. But if I'm Nick Sirianni, I think that my plan is to throw early and try and get the Chiefs to stay honest against the pass and then kind of open up some of those running lanes because they've been really effective in the second half of games, just wearing teams down with their offensive line and the run. So kind of looking at a guy like A.J. Brown over his receiving yards. Like, the last couple of games, he hasn't done much. But in his last six regular season games, averaged 110 receiving yards per game. So he was a huge factor. If they need to throw, and I presume they will because this game should be closer, I think A.J. Brown is the guy that I would look at to maybe have a big game from a yardage standpoint, whereas Devontae Smith is the guy who kind of racks up the receptions with swing passes, tunnel screens, stuff like that.
Let's have a little thought exercise. This is a little hypothetical, just to sort of have a little mental gymnastic here. Because you keep bringing up Jalen Hurts, and correctly so, the uncertainty around him at this point. If Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of the Eagles and Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of the Chiefs, what is this spread?
That's a hell of a question. 3.5?
Only maybe, 3.5?
Maybe 4?
Man, I would choose 5.5.
Really?
Or Eagles 5.5.
I mean, Mahomes in his current state.
You think it's only 5.5?
It's at least that.
It's 6 or 7 to me. Like,
I think
we have a write-in vote by Jeff Parles. He says 6.5.
I agree with Jeffrey.
And he literally wrote it down and showed it to me.
Jeff Parlay and I sharing a brain lately. I agree with him. I mean, because I think you're right. That's sort of the – and it's not only Hurts. It's the uncertainty. I keep bringing this up, and I know Eagles fans hate it when I do. It doesn't mean – let me just preface it by saying it doesn't mean the Eagles aren't awesome. All I'm saying is we don't know if they're awesome based on the fact that they really haven't beaten a gauntlet of teams, right? So it's really rare, if ever, that you can say a team that has gotten this far, that is on the cusp of a title, they're headed to the Super Bowl, and you're like, okay, they just played a Giants team that we already know is a fraud. They just beat a Niners team that didn't have a quarterback that could throw a forward pass for a half. Their biggest win in terms of who they defeated in the NFL season might be the Lions. Mm-hmm. Apologies to Cowboys fans. But so I just wonder, that is central to this, because I talked to Eric Eager about this from Sumer Sports earlier this week. That's a tough thing to handicap because they could still be phenomenal. You have to beat who's in front of you. It's not their fault who they had to play. So that to me is the central handicap of this whole thing.
I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit higher on Jalen Hurts and specifically the way that Jalen Hurts fits into this offense. Because, I mean, that was the front runner for MVP for a large portion of the year. Now, again, as you said, maybe the strength of schedule played a significant role in that. That's definitely a possibility. But, I mean, the dual threat nature, his ability to run. Mahomes isn't really that much of a runner anymore and certainly won't be in this game, I wouldn't think.
Eager's point, not to interrupt, but his point, and I think it was a good one, is that because their competition level was such that it was – they were able to get ahead in games rather easily. And so we're able to play out the script. Now, the one game where they couldn't do that, Washington stands out more than any of them, where Washington was like, no, we're going to hold the ball. We're going to matriculate down the field. We're going to use the time. We're going to move the chains. And that's why I thought San Francisco, if they had been full strength, they're like a, you know, Washington's like a poor man's, maybe a destitute man's version of San Francisco. That didn't play out that way, obviously, with the injuries. And so San Francisco never had a shot at doing that. But you just wonder if the Chiefs get ahead of them, and so much of this game, every game, comes down to who's ahead. But this one in particular, it strikes me, if the Chiefs go ahead, the Eagles can't be their true, authentic self that they want to be. So, I mean, all that stuff is interesting, I think.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, from a live betting standpoint, that is something that possibly you can take advantage of. Which also, on the flip side, like, if the Chiefs have a couple three and outs and the Eagles, with their scripted plays, go up 10-0, 14-0, something like that.
Different story.
Then, you know, what happens in this game.
100%.
So, yeah, I think it is one of those where, you know, a lot of the Super Bowls generally come down to, you know, the second half. But I think there's a lot to be said about the first half in this game of who goes ahead, who can run the game script, the game state that they want to. And then how do things kind of play out from there? Yeah, I mean, maybe I do overvalue Jalen Hurts a little bit, but I also feel like maybe he's getting a little bit disrespected because this game, everyone's like, well, the Eagles are better here, 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 and here. Oh, but the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's the great equalizer of everything, and he certainly is good enough to do that. But, you know, a lot of people are saying the Eagles are just the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And the only fallback, it feels like, for the Chiefs side is like, well, they got Mahomes.
And I guess you're 100% right about that, because I've heard that sort of narrative being driven home over the last week. We'll have another week for people to drive it home even more. But you're right. And maybe what we've done here is make the biggest case for an in-game bet than anything. Yeah. That maybe this is one of these games where getting ahead means more than the average game. I don't know. Adam Burke, everybody. Not bumped for anyone today. We do apologize for all the bumping.
It's all good. Maybe I should have been after my answer on the Eagles with Mahomes at quarterback?
That's okay. I think that's an interesting question, though. We've done all we could do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.